Hello, this is Tiara.
Hello, this is Allie.
And this is the Goddess Vibration. Welcome back to another episode. We're going to shift gears in this episode and talk a little bit about the state of humanity. How are you guys doing? We know things have been really rough post-COVID, but I'm a little concerned about you guys, not going to lie. Especially because based on some of the things that Allie and I are seeing on social media, I think a lot of people are disillusioned and we can't really tell if humanity has given up or not.
And what we mean by giving up, it's just people aren't happy. And I'm not saying that there's happiness is an interesting topic because a lot of people will say like happiness has to come from within and, you know, happiness shouldn't come from external things like materialism and relationships and like happiness is a state of being.
Yeah.
But in today's society, you know, when people are constantly stuck in that fear and anxiety ridden state where they're just like, I can't pay my bills. I'm behind in my credit card bills. I'm behind on my student loan debt. And you're just constantly trying to put your energy into surviving. It's just like, you have to ask yourself, like, how is my mental state? Is this my life? And I feel like a lot of people are doing that right now. Like a lot of people are just kind of like, this can't be life. Like there has to be more to my life. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's just everything that was promised, especially like in the baby boomer era is not being, I guess, fulfilled or given. And a lot of people are struggling.
Well, I will say as a millennial, like when I was in the U.S., I was tired, like tired. I was like, I'm so exhausted. And a lot of millennials we're in this like state where it's like there's a lot of things we want to do. And we do have dreams and goals, but it's like there's either never enough money. We don't have enough time or we can't afford it. And so I feel like a big subset of millennials are stuck or stunted. I think I saw a statistic that said like millennials, something like 30%+ of millennials live at home with their parents right now because they just can't afford life. And I feel that because when I was still in the U.S., I made good money for what it's worth. In regards to like the average salary in America, I did make good money. But even then, I still feel like I was living paycheck to paycheck. And it was like I could never get ahead. And I never had disposable income. It was just always bills. And that was with the student loan payment on pause. And so, I don't know, eventually you just kind of get to this place where you're like, what is this for? Like, what is this all worth? I'm not getting anywhere. Like, I can't afford to do anything. Can't afford to have kids. You know, like what?
Can't afford to buy a house.
Can't afford to buy a house. That was a big one. I knew that I was never in a place or would never get to a place where we could afford a home. And I know that's a big thing for millennials right now, because when it comes to buying a home, if you live in the U.S., you're really not going to get into a home unless you can get someone to gift you down payment funds, which is these days, that's how people are buying homes. They're getting down payment funds from like trust funds or people with money. So if you don't have that option, it's just like, well, shit, I guess I'm 23 for the rest of my life.
And that's so sad. Like, I don't blame people for being frustrated. I just look at the situation. I think a lot of people are looking at the situation of the economy and the state of the world, not just the U.S. And people are just like, why am I here? Why am I doing this?
Well, and it's stuff like this that has fueled like that quiet quitting trends where a lot of people started doing the bare minimum at work because that's what they felt like their job was paying them enough to do the bare minimum. So you saw like this whole quiet quitting trend that took place after COVID. But you did start to see people demanding more from the workplace, like especially when they launched the work from home concept and got to a place where they wanted people to come back. A lot of workers pushed back on that because I think people now are like, well, after COVID, now I know what it's like to have work-life balance. Prior to COVID, I didn't have that. You know, I'd like to keep that. So that's why you're seeing like some of this pushback when it comes to forcing people back to the workplace, because no one wants to do that hustle culture. The whole hustle culture concept is getting old. People are tired of it. It doesn't serve us. People know it doesn't serve us. And I think companies are really going to need to start changing when it comes to like not only what they're paying people, because that's going to be a big issue moving forward, but also how can they serve their employees the way the employees serve the company?
Companies are a really interesting topic, only because I would have to say that there is so much nepotism and favoritism in companies that, like, yeah. I understand people who work really hard, who could be even in the top of their department, and they get passed for promotions, they get passed for projects. And when companies do that to people, you're at risk of losing some of your best people. And that is also something that's very common in the workforce. And I know, like, I've experienced it in previous jobs where I'm just like, you know, I'm one of the top salespeople in the company, and yet I'm still in the same position that I'm in. But I am seeing people who don't have the same numbers get promoted. And I feel like that happens a lot, like across the board in almost all the industries and all the companies. So that doesn't leave much for motivation. That doesn't leave much for wanting to come to work and bust my ass for this company when I am being underappreciated and undervalued.
Right. And it's crazy because I'm like, how do companies not see the value in valuing your employees? I feel like for a long time, a lot of companies, particularly in the West, have viewed their employees as like, not assets, but almost as like risks or like disposable, you know, these disposable individuals. When I'm like, you know, you should be valuing your employees and investing in them and making them feel like you care. And I feel like we tilted the other way. And it has created a lot of disillusionment in the workforce. I think a lot of people are no longer like, they no longer dedicate themselves to one company anymore, like we used to see in the past. I think people job hop more because they're looking for a company that gives a shit about them. And I think if that shifted, that we would see a lot more. I think we see a lot more happier people. I think people would probably be less frustrated with work, with the workforce than they are now. I look at other countries and I see these countries that have companies that pay for maternity leave, pay for paternity leave, have like, what, 10 weeks paid vacation, which I know some of the European, like Scandinavian countries offer. And I'm just like, what? Like, how come we don't have that here? Why? Why are we so hustle focused over here? Like, why is it so different here? And it's just, it's an interesting comparison when it comes to like the way companies treat their employees here versus some of the other countries.
Right. And if you look at like some of the happiest countries in the world, I mean,
all America is
definitely not one of them. Yeah, no, they're like not. They're all Scandinavian countries because there is a work-life balance. They get treated fairly. If you have a kid, right. Don't quote me on this, but I believe if they have a kid, I think they get like 6 months off or like six months to a year off.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like close to a year or maybe more.
Yeah. That's insane. And in America, they give you 12 weeks, which is 3 months or something like that.
oh, when my mom had me, she said that she got 6 weeks and that's it. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, that's insane. That's right. So crazy.
It is. And I know that that's a big sticking point for millennials who have decided not to have children, because they'll say to you, I mean, if you ask the average millennial, like, why can't you have kids? Why don't you have kids? They will say costs and they will say time off. That those are the two reasons why, because here in the US, if you decide to have a child and you're a woman, you're going to get penalized for that professionally. And you're lucky if your job's still going to be there for you when you come back. And that's just the way it is here. And so obviously that's a put off to a lot of families. It's a put off to a lot of women. So women have just decided, you know what? Forget it. Can you blame them? Again, I don't blame them.
I don't blame them either. But this is what I mean. Like, I just have feel like there's this trend of people just wanting to give up or needing to give up. And I think that there's a lot of factors that go into why people feel the way that they feel.
Well, absolutely. Like, it's not any one factor. I think that COVID disillusioned a lot of people. I think that there's been issues brewing in our country for a very long time. Again, I'm talking about the US specifically. And I think COVID kind of like made us look at it all. Like, it kind of just got thrown in our faces. And post COVID, we're all just like, well, shit. Like, what's the point?
Oh, post COVID. Yeah.
Post COVID. Yes.
It's an interesting time, as always, because you just don't. I just don't know how to solve it. Like, I don't think anyone knows how to solve it. I do think that we need to come together in more than just communities. I think that we need to come together as a society and stand up for our rights. I think I believe COVID took away so many of our rights. And I think that was part of the experiment. And I just think that we've kind of have all been left to, well, if we don't do what they say, then they're going to take away what little we have left. And I mean, it's all manipulation. It's all fear. I'm not saying that it's not true, but it's not a way to live. And I don't think that society should be put in that position or backed into that corner. And that's just kind of what I feel like that's where we are right now, is that people feel like they have been pushed back into a corner and they don't know which way to turn. And it's just like, what do I do? Is there anything we can do? And it's a lot of big questions that really don't have answers.
You know, I do think that something that has contributed to people feeling like they're backed into a corner is this whole cancel culture. Because what cancel culture did is it showed people that if you speak out of turn or you speak in a manner that goes against the mob, you can be punished for that with like your livelihood getting taken away. And yeah, that's terrifying, especially when you're already struggling to get by. So I think that whole cancel culture concept scared people into silence. You know, in addition to COVID disillusioning a lot of people and destroying our social fabric. And then on top of that, you already had these issues that we had in the workforce, issues that we had when it comes to, you know, being able to afford a family, being able to afford a home. Like, all this stuff was there. It's just, I feel like these last few years is when it's really kind of been in focus and when people have really started to look at these things and felt like this is just too much to deal with. Now, I don't know that giving up is the answer. I understand why people have and why people have chosen to just kind of stay in their bubble and do their 9-to-5 and stay quiet, because obviously that's what the cabal wants you to do. But I don't think that that's the way forward. I think that Ali's right, that we're going to need to come together as a society and as a community and take a stand. I kept seeing, I want to say this is on Twitter, that there was going to be like, and there was a little bit of this that happened with like the strikes that happened in Hollywood, but that there was going to be like a big workers' strike across the nation. That was, I kept seeing that this was going to happen, like, I want to say maybe 2022 or 2023 was when I saw a lot of chatter about this. And if that would have happened and like every single person chose not to go to work for like one day, that would have brought the entire economy to a complete halt and they would have had no choice but to listen.
Yeah, that was on TikTok. I sent you that TikTok.
Yes. I did see some chatter about it on Twitter too. Like, so it felt like it was a movement and it kind of petered out. And that's so disappointing because I thought that it had a lot of potential.
Well, what the people don't understand is how much power we actually do have. And that's the thing. It's that, you know, if one person has a great idea and it's one person against the world, it's like, okay, so I have this great idea, but I'm only one person. And I feel like a lot of people get stuck in that mindset, but really change starts with one person.
It does.
Like one person needs to take a stand and, you know, start spreading the message. And especially a message like that, you would be so surprised how many people would sign up for that and think that's a great idea and take the power back from the government and the cabal. And it's just so disheartening to know that people are just like, have this defeatist mindset of, that's not going to make any difference. Like, it is what it is. We can't change anything. And a lot of people are there. A lot of people are in that mindset.
They are. And I saw similar chatter around something like that, but it was tied to the student loans. So there was some chatter about people like en masse no longer making their student loan payments, which I also thought would have been very, very impactful, but that also petered out. So I'm just like, man, can we like stick to something? Because if we're going to stick it to the man, we have to follow through. And I don't think that we've gotten to that place where we feel like we can do it. You know, I keep saying, I think there needs to be a catalyst, but I don't know what the catalyst is. Now, if the conspiracy holds up, and Allie, we've talked about this before, about how in the U.S., it's an election year, so we're going to have presidential elections in November, which is crazy. I feel like we just had an election, but anyway. The conspiracy is that they're going to come out with like some type of pandemic or crisis that's going to cancel the election, right? I think if that happens, that it could trigger unrest or potentially a civil war, which could be enough to, like, I mean, if we were smart about it, we would use that to facilitate change. But I don't know. Again, this is all a conspiracy. I don't know how likely that is.
There's been a lot of chatter about the election being canceled and the multiple ways that the election can be canceled. And this is one that I definitely have my eye on because I'm just so curious about this whole thing. If the election gets canceled, I definitely believe that this will be a catalyst.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm thinking too, is that people are going to be like, oh no, no. Pitchforks, knives, and guns. Let's go.
Okay, I don't know if it's going to be that extreme. It might be, but I mean, not have an election when so many people are just so unhappy with politics.
Yeah. Because now you're taking away people's voice. You're taking away the only means that they have to facilitate any type of change is through the election process. Outside of that, you're right. Most humans and citizens feel completely disempowered. So when you take that last vestige of power away, I think that that could definitely tilt people over the edge. How that's going to manifest, if that even happens, remains to be seen. I'm of the belief it'll be a civil war. I honestly don't know. You know, Americans have a lot of guns and we like our guns and we like to tout our guns. So that's just where my mind goes. But honestly, it could, you know, it could manifest as like not going to work. It could manifest as people choosing to stop paying their bills. Like, I don't know.
I wonder why people just don't follow through on some of these ideas.
You know, that's a good question. I just think there's just fear there. I think that people are afraid that the response might be an adverse one, that they could get in trouble or lose their jobs or that it won't be effective. There's been so many great ideas and like these movements that start and then they don't execute. And I'm just like, man, this could have really been impactful.
Well, so I think I think I asked you one time when we were talking about the employment movement, and I'm just going to use you as an example and your response as an example. I said, would you participate in one of these? And you said, absolutely, as long as I could use my PTO time and I could still get paid.
Yes. So that's what I mean. It's like, I think we kind of have one foot in and one foot out mentality, because it's like, okay, well, I want to do this, but that could mean destroying everything I have. Do I want to do that? No, not really.
Right. And so that's a perfect example. And I'm using you because, I mean, that was your response. You're like, oh, I would absolutely participate, but I would have to be able to still get paid for that day that I miss of work.
Yeah. Right. And a lot of people don't have that privilege.
No, they absolutely don't, which is why I'm saying I think that's why people just take it and they just go about their day and go about their lives, because they're just like, well, I can't afford to not go to work. I can't afford to for them to come to me and say, you didn't show up, you're fired. I can't afford to miss that one day of pay if they didn't have PTO.
Right. Honestly, when it comes to the mass scale of changes that needs to take place in the U.S., I honestly think that if people want to create a movement and execute it, that they need to be ready to lose everything. And we're not ready for that right now. We're not ready to lose everything. And I think it's just because so many of us are grasping to the little that we have, but not seeing the bigger picture. I think we're too focused on the micro, and not focused enough on the macro.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. It's like, I think people care less about their credit card bills. I think that's kind of where it's starting. But I mean, if you don't pay your water bill, your water gets turned off. If you don't pay your electric bill, your electric gets turned off. If you don't pay your rent, then you're at risk of being evicted.
Right.
Who's going to risk giving all of that up and putting themselves in a worse position than they already are in or struggling to keep?
Well, I do definitely see a lot of chatter about people who are done paying credit card bills, done paying debts, don't want to pay their student loans, don't want to pay their car note. So that's not an issue. I think people would be ready to just like, you know, not pay any of that stuff. But you're right. Like the essentials that you need to survive, that's a different story. And I think that we see so much, well, especially in big, like bigger populated areas in the US, we see a lot of homelessness and we see a lot of destitution. And I think a lot of us go, dang, I'm so glad it's not me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it just raises the question of like, you know, at this point, mental illness, happiness, how do you survive but still have peace of mind, because everything is about balance? How do you, you know, and I'm going to touch quickly on this subject, but like all of the stress and anxiety too, it affects not only you and your own mental health, it also affects the relationships that you have with people. Like, I noticed that you know, I think I read an article shortly after the pandemic, during the pandemic, that more people were actually getting divorced because you were both forced to be in the same household. And, you know, you had different stresses being at home. And I think couples fought more. And I think couples really kind of realized, like, oh, you know, we aren't so great of a couple versus, you know, being out 9 hours a day and coming home and having that couple hours and then waking up and having that couple hours. And then you guys don't see each other for the majority of the day. So, you know, I'm just saying that I think all the outside stresses and all the anxiety and everything, I also think that it brought a whole different meaning to relationships that we have outside of ourselves. And I think that has been highlighted and showed causing more stress and anxiety on a person.
Yeah, I remember seeing articles about how the divorce rate went up. I think that the government officials were expecting that being locked down would mean that there would be more people having babies. And it actually went in the opposite direction. And people were like, what the hell? That's not what we were expecting. But yeah, that's exactly what happened. More people broke up and people had less kids, which is, it's strange because statistically in the past, when things like this have happened, where people have been forced to hunker down together, you see a rise in births, but that didn't happen. And it surprised a lot of officials. It was unexpected.
Well, yeah, when you plan something and it doesn't go your way, You know what I'm saying?
Right. So there was just so many unexpected and unintended consequences that came out of the COVID lockdown. And it's unfortunate that we have yet to fully recover from that short phase of our lives.
Oh, I know. And I don't know. It just seems like the consensus today, the reason why we wanted to bring up this topic is just, it seems like the consensus on social media and with people is that people just don't know why they're here anymore, right? Like people are just like, I go to work, I come home, I live paycheck to paycheck, I'm struggling, I am going to have no retirement, which means I might be working until my last breath. And I mean, what kind of life is that? So I don't blame these people, but I'm just like, how do we fix it? That's my big question. How do we fix it?
Well, I was under the false impression that lockdown would mean that more people would introspect and do inner work, but
no.
Right. That was me being the Lulu. But I mean, at the end of the day, that's what more people are going to need to do. Like people are going to really need to decide, okay, what do they want? And if they get to a place where they know what they want, how do they not force it to happen, but manifest it into their lives? How do they become energetically aligned to what they want? And that requires a lot of inner work and inner reflection. And we're just so outwardly focused that we don't turn the energy inward the way that we should as a society.
Okay, but I mean, to speak up for lots of humanity, especially right now, like A, they don't know how to, or B, they're running from it, or C, they really don't have the time or energy to do that.
Right. But I always say this to myself. I don't know how healthy this is. I always say to myself that if you don't have time, make time. Because if you care about it enough and you want something strong enough and you're dedicated to it, you will make time. Regardless of what society says to you, regardless what you're seeing out there, you do always have a choice.
I do agree with Tiara there that you do always have a choice, but if you make those choices, you have to have the self-awareness, the self-confidence, and know your self-worth, and have the mental fortitude to be able to be able to walk away from your current situation knowing everything could fall apart, everything could crumble beneath you, and you need to have all those characteristics I just listed to be able to build yourself back up again. And although it's so commendable and admirable, it's not easy. And some people don't want to go down that road. And some people just don't have the self-confidence to think that they can come out of this, leaving them in a very frozen, stuck, like feeling like they're in quicksand scenarios.
Right. And, you know, we were talking about mental fortitude. I do know that post-COVID, that mental health has become a big, big issue in the West, like almost to the point of a crisis. And it's unfortunate that we don't have enough mental health resources in our country readily available to the people who need it. It's sad. It's devastating. But there are things that you can do, even if it means just joining a group or joining a support. They have support groups for mental health or a community of some sort. Like sometimes you just need to talk to someone. You know, you don't necessarily have to hire a psychologist or a psychotherapist if that's not something that you can do. There are other things that you can do to boost your mental health or support your mental health. And one of the best ways is to get involved in a community. Because as we've talked about in other episodes, that sense of community is so vital to mental health and your states of mind. Because humans were meant to exist in a community. We were traditionally a very agrarian, tribal species. And so we do need to get back to that as a society, because I think that that would be so helpful for so many people.
I agree. My heart goes out to society because it is hard out there. We're not claiming it's not hard out there. We also aren't claiming that this journey is easy. We've said it in previous episodes before. It's not easy. And we are in very crucial times right now where it's kind of like we're at a crossroads where it's just like, are we going to accept this is the way things are? Or are we going to rise up and come together as a society and take back our rights and take back our power?
You know, I'm mixed on this, because I think we need to do that. But I also think that we need to prioritize our mental health and our wellness in this country, too. And this country makes it so hard to do that, because it's almost like virtually everything is either toxic or poisonous or unhealthy for you in some way. So it's hard, but there are things that you can do. But if your mental health is like just not in the best states, or you're struggling, do get some type of support. Like, reach out to someone. You can find therapists that will talk to you through apps. There are many apps online now that you can download to talk to a therapist for a short amount of time. You can explore other things. I'm exploring microdosing. Since we know now, especially once with some of the science that has come out, that psychedelics can really help mental health issues, that's an avenue to explore. You know, you can find a book that's about spirituality and the steps that you can take to do some of that inner reflection. Like, there are so many resources and tools out there to help you become better and to evolve and expand. It's just, you have to go and search for them. And when I started my journey, I just started with books. I didn't have a lot of time. You know, at the time, I think I was working full time. I was training to be a bodybuilder, but I knew that I needed to shift. So I found some books, and that was easy and it was affordable, and it gave me a lot of clarity, and it helped me start those next steps towards, you know, expansion. So there are little steps that you can take to, you know, become better and to improve your wellness. You just have to find something that works for you. You know, it doesn't need to be something big and grand. You don't need to change or uplift your entire life. Just take baby steps.
Well, another thing that we have to address, because I have definitely been in that position when I was like younger, you know, teens, early 20s. And I know you've been in that position too. And we know others in this position where you were just like, well, we both know people who want help, like ourselves included, but we just couldn't afford the proper help that we needed.
Yeah.
And if people are living paycheck to paycheck, and if people are stressed out even trying to figure out how to get food on the table, like essentials, like keeping a roof over your head or getting food on the table, keeping your electricity on and your water running, it's really hard to be able to prioritize mental health. And this might all be by design, but whether it's by design or not, it is the reality. And I do agree with Tiara about making the time, right? Like the only thing that we humans actually have real control over is time. And that's something that I have learned through Dhamma, Buddhism. They have really interesting philosophies around time, and they have really interesting philosophies just about life in general. And just being the spiritual people that we are and knowing like Earth is a school and this is a false matrix, and knowing like the having insight on the cabal's agenda and just knowing like the state of the world and where we're headed. And, you know, it's hard to break free of all of that. It was not an easy journey for TR and I. But when you look at the little things that you can control, like money, like where does your money go and stuff like that. And if you really are living to paycheck to paycheck, and if you have children especially, because you're going to prioritize them, it's really hard to make ends meet. And Tiara and I have been there.
Absolutely. I know what that's like. And even when I had, you know, started diving into some of the readings, I was living paycheck to paycheck. And I was like, I can't afford, you know, someone to do hypnosis for me. I can't afford psychotherapy or a psychologist. So what can I afford? I can afford to buy this $3 book on Amazon and download it on my phone and read it, you know, and that was really, really helpful for me. Books have been really helpful for me because for a long time, it's all I could afford, but it helped catapult me to those next stages of evolution. And as you evolve, your frequency shifts and then other things start to align for you. So I would recommend, if you're struggling living paycheck to paycheck, I know what it's like in the US to live paycheck to paycheck, it fucking sucks. Just join a group. You can find groups on Facebook that are, you know, dedicated to spiritual evolution and expansion, or find a book. Great place to start. There are also YouTube videos that are dedicated to people that are beginning the spiritual journey or looking for specific support or guidance. I talked about this in another episode, but I watched a lot of tarot readings, which I don't recommend for anything outside of entertainment purposes, but a lot of them have aligned and provided incredible guidance and information for my journey. So you can find those readings that align with you if you set the right intention. If you go in and you're just like, oh, you know, I want someone to tell me I'm hot and that I'm going to have the best sex ever with this guy, then okay, you might not find that. But if you go looking for, hey, I'm looking for guidance that will help me on my journey, oftentimes you will align with the right video or the right reading on YouTube. That's been my experience. And I think Allie experienced a little bit of that. She's not as obsessed with YouTube readings as I am. But that's another resource.
I'm definitely not. I haven't watched a YouTube reading in over a year.
Oh, I freaking love them. I did them for a little bit. I posted a couple for a little while, but just exploring, like, hey, is this something I really want to do? But it's a lot of work to do those because it's like 3 piles, 4 piles. And then they say, oh, choose the pile that aligns with you. And so now you're doing like 3-4 readings, and it was just a lot. But they're a lot of fun.
They're definitely fun. I mean, and Tiara and I both enjoy tarot. I have really kind of developed other spiritual gifts where I don't need tarot now. Tarot's just, for me personally, it's just really there for validation.
Yes. But if you're new to the spiritual journey and you're looking for a message from your spirit guides, motivation, what's in store for you over the next month or so, if you align to the right reading, it will resonate. At least that's been my experience. So again, another potential resource or tool for those of you that are looking for affordable resources to help catapult your evolution to the next level. Outside of that, I have also like found people on social media that are willing to do tit for tat, like exchanges. So I think I do Reiki. So I was able to like give Reiki to someone, and then she did an EFT session for me. So if you offer some type of divination or you have some type of spiritual gifts, you could do a this for that exchange with someone and also get support that way. So just a couple ideas.
And if you do have money, because we're all talking about all these resources, if you don't have money, and they're excellent places to start. And there are so many free resources out there. But if you do have money and if you are still interested in the spiritual journey, there are other avenues you can take, like hypnotherapy, because that's just deeper therapy than psychotherapy. There is EFT, like what Tiara just mentioned. It's emotional freedom tapping. That's what it stands for. And you tap like different points in your body and you speak these words. And I've done EFT. I absolutely love it. There is also things that you can do like kinesiology and acupuncture. And there's a past life regression if you're interested in that. So if you do have money, there's life coaches, spiritual coaches. There are other avenues that you can go towards if you like want a little bit of expertise into your spiritual journey. I highly recommend any of those that I just listed.
Also, I'm not anti-clinical approach when it comes to healing. So, I mean, I have my feelings and sentiments, but that's another topic. So if you feel like you want more traditional mental health support and you can afford a psychotherapist or a psychologist or a psychiatrist, definitely do that as well. Just make sure that you're picking someone who aligns with your needs and is willing to help you heal and get better and not just take your money. Because I know that that happens to a lot of people, that they find someone they're comfortable with. They stay in that comfort bubble. They're not pushed beyond it. The therapist just takes your money. Find someone who's willing to help you get to the next level, the next stage, the next phase of your life. Also, I want to talk about something just really quickly and briefly called quantum change process, which is something I stumbled upon a couple years ago. And it's a form of coaching that involves digging into the roots of your wound so that you can clear it and expand and evolve quickly. And I think it's really, really cool. It's something I had been curious about learning. If you can find someone who does that, that's also an excellent, excellent healing choice.
That's interesting. I have not heard of that one.
Yeah, it's more niche. You don't see a lot of people practicing it, but I stumbled upon it on a Facebook group and I was just kind of dabbling in it. And I was like, this is really, really amazing. And some of the testimonials I've seen have been people that have been able to heal health issues just by doing quantum change process. And I'm just like, holy moly. It is not cheap. I will say you, if you are of means, that might be something you can explore. But it's quite pricey. So just FYI.
That is really, really interesting. Just how all these methods that we just listed can really help a journey, but also like help the body. Cause like,
right,
the journey is not just your mind, right? It's your state of being. It's mind, body, and soul.
Right.
So it is really important to know that. And the reason why I personally don't like psychotherapy, not that I'm against traditional methods, it's just the thing about psychotherapy is that it really kind of focuses on just the mind portion.
Right.
That's why I like to do the deeper healings like the hypnotherapy, which is like the more subconscious healing, like the deeper healing. So
right.
That's why I've done the psychotherapy and I've done the hypnotherapy, and it's just, you have to find what works for you. You have to find what resonates. If you have the means, you just, it might be, hey, great, I tried this, it works for me, amazing. But most of the time, healing is going to be trying out many different methods until you find what works for you.
Exactly. Or you might end up using a combination of methods to get the best results. I think we talked about this in another episode. We should probably do a more detailed episode about this. Quantum Healing Hypnosis Technique, or QHHT, is also some of that deeper level healing. I think for the most part, when you do that, you do go under some form of hypnosis. Same with QHT, which is similar but can be done online. So these are also two excellent tools. They're not as expensive as quantum change. Also not as expensive as psychotherapy, but do go to the subconscious level. So those are also two excellent methods.
Absolutely. So we just kind of wanted to talk about this topic about humanity giving up, only because it's what we are observing, like just through social media. It's also what we're observing, like when we're out and about meeting people in person. And it's really disheartening to see people in such a defeatist, low vibrational state. And I'm not saying it's not justified. I'm just saying that it is really disappointing and sad that we as a society have gotten here, and that we have let the people in control put us here.
Right. So I think that we need to prioritize our wellness, because obviously the people in control don't care about our wellness. So if they don't care, then who cares outside of ourselves? I think we need to start doing that more as a country, as a people, as a community. Prioritizing our wellness and the wellness of those that we love and care about beyond just, you know, can I afford to put food on the table? Absolutely, that's 100% important. But wellness goes beyond physical needs. So I think that we should start looking at that a little bit more and seeing how we can prioritize ourselves beyond what we've done traditionally.
Indeed. Well, I just want to thank everyone for tuning in, and I hope that you find something enlightening in this conversation. And really, if you don't have the awareness, or if you do have the awareness, you know, just we ask that you take a few minutes out of your day and just kind of look inward. It can be whatever you choose. There's no right or wrong path when looking inward. We just ask that you take at least 5 minutes out of your day and just sit with yourself and kind of start looking inwards and see what's in there and see what manifests and see, you know, what changes you would like to see be made, because accepting it is one thing, but the difference about doing something about it is another, right? Like, it's accepting is just like, well, it is what it is, and this is my life, and I'm ready to leave the planet whenever that day comes. Like, that's just kind of like accepting it. But you do have power. And part of our podcast is that we do want to empower people, and we do want to bring people into their power. And one of the ways you're going to do that is if you can sit with yourself and just look inwards. So that's what I ask our audience to do.
I know that doing that work can be tough. I know it's not the most exciting thing to do, but you will often find some very fascinating things about yourself when you do that inward exploration. I know I have found like incredibly fascinating stuff that I didn't even know was there. And I'm just like, oh my God, what? That's incredible. What? So it can be interesting too, you know, it doesn't have to just be doom and gloom all the time to have to do any inward reflection. Sometimes the things you find are enlightening and interesting and inspiring. So I think that we need to shift our perspectives when it comes to doing that work, because I feel like traditionally it's always been like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to look at that. But it's not all bad and negative to do that kind of work.
It absolutely isn't. And this is why we're going to encourage people to just take 5 minutes and just start sitting with yourself and just start looking inwards and asking yourself, what do I want out of life? Like, if you're looking at yourself and you're just like, this is it, this can't be it, there has to be more to life than this, then you need to start that journey inwards and start figuring out what you want your life to look like, what direction you want your life to head in. And it's not going to be easy. You might hit some road bumps. Tiara and I certainly have. But there's also a lot of magic when you go inwards. And tapping into that magic is what makes the journey worth it.
Absolutely. That's a great way to end.
So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And we will see you next week.
All right. Thanks, you guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.